You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 329, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. And it is Thursday, March 14th, 2024. Mm-hmm. That's Pi Day.
You got that? Wow.
You don't have to. I don't even have to throw you, man.
Why don't you
that's
back Pi Day. Up, I know asshole. That's
sorry
my
to get
job.
On your base. On
Holy
your lane.
Shit, man. Tell them, I guess, tell them what everything else is, man, because you know everything else is happening on March
13th. Oh, you're
fuck,
so smart.
Bro. What
are you
the one
about
fucking
all the
thing I
ones?
Got is to read off this list every day. It's also National Write Down Your Story Day. I don't know why. National Children's Craft Day. Shout out to everybody doing arts and crafts. National Learn About Butterflies Day. National Potato Chip Day.
Okay.
And I guess also shout out the St. Louis area, because your area code is 314. So maybe it's also National STL Day.
The 314.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Potato Chips O'Brien.
Oh.
In honor of our national day here. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It's Miles Gray, a.k.a. Whoa, definitely just wanted to brag about how my mom is still breathing now. Whoa, it was always my intention to brag about how my loved one's still breathing right now. But God, does it feel so good that I wrote Red Rum on the mirror they breathed on? And if you could, then you know you would anxiously check on your loved one's health. Check on their health. Shout out. I am a person on the Discord. Shout out you for picking up on my childhood anxiety of just checking in on my mom if she was breathing, even though it'll creep her the fuck out. Just have to know as a curious four-year-old, just got to check in on the parents and their breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And wow. It's been a while since I've been able to belt out Misery Business by Paramore, so thank you.
That was beautiful. Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the best-selling author of books like John Dies at the End,
yep.
Zoe Punches the Future in the Dick,
yep.
And we got a new one. Mm-hmm. Got a new Chise, or at least it's the first not part, you know, original, unrelated to a previous franchise novel he's dropped in a while. It's called I'm Starting to Worry About This Black Box of Doom. It's available for pre-order right now. So anywhere you want to go pre-order it, go do that right now.
Do it right now.
And he's also one of the hosts of the podcast Big Feats, which, if I'm reading this New Yorker profile correctly, is, quote, the only Mountain Monsters podcast officially endorsed by Big Feet. He's my former co-worker at Cracked.com and co-creator of the Cracked podcast. Welcome back to the show, Jason Pargett!
Jason!
Welcome in. Congratulations on getting renewed for a 329th season.
It's Thank every you. Time. It's so nerve-wracking.
Yeah. It's, a lot of people count on us, and so it's... Every time, we always hear on a Friday night whether or not we get the thumbs up or thumbs down. And,
that would be amazing.
Oh, man. I don't know. Yeah,
so many shows start to go downhill after the 300th season, but it's cool. To
exactly.
Like, no, this is, there's so much juice left to squeeze from.
Some say we're just starting to, you know, catch our stride
Hit
right
our
now.
Stride.
Yeah.
But yeah, most say we fell the fuck off at 300. They were like, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you guys even trying anymore?
They're like, what is this, season 9 of The Simpsons? Ooh.
Come on, season 9 is still good. I like them well into the teens, to be honest.
That's fine. I'm one of those, I'm rigid. I'm not that I don't like it, but my fondest memories end around 8.
For sure.
But not to say that there aren't good ones after 9, but you know, yeah. It is what it is.
Jason, how are you doing? Where are you coming to us from?
I am coming to you from an unnamed city in Tennessee. Somebody okay. wants to try to find me. You've got the entire state. I could be anywhere. Yes, yeah, it is extremely easy to find out if you wanted to. But if you're coming after me, you will have to take the extra 40 to 50 seconds that will take to figure out.
You did give
out
us a hint earlier by saying that there was a gas station where you
yeah.
live.
I was actually looking for Google Maps coordinates, but yeah. sounds like we're not going to get that Google Earth.
Jack kept zooming in on Google Maps like, damn, which one of them could you think? Which one do you think it is? There's so many gas stations.
Amazing. Well, tell us a little bit. What's the new book about? I'm hearing it maybe about a black box of doom.
There is a guy who drives for Lyft, and he pulls up outside of L.A. to find a woman sitting on a big black box, one big enough that a person could fit inside of it, in theory. Mm. She says, I will offer you $200,000 in cash to drive me and this box to Washington, D.C., across the country.
Wow.
But she says, there are conditions. One, you cannot look in the box. You cannot ask me what's in the box. You cannot ask me anything about myself. You cannot tell anyone you're doing this. You must leave behind your phone and any devices that can be tracked. We will pay with cash. We will navigate with a map. And also, you have to leave right now because I'm in a hurry. That is the setup. And then that starts going off the rails on about page 3.
See, that seems like just a fairly straightforward ask to me. See, I see nothing foreboding about that. That all seems pretty straightforward. I mean, and like
it feels like the nature of most jobs on some level where they're like, look, don't ask what you're doing here, who it's enriching. Just come on. Just here's money. Here's health insurance.
Yeah.
I created a little video on TikTok to promote this, basically offering this. Like, would you do this? Because it's clearly shady. Like, clearly this mm-hmm. is not, you know, a box of, you know, somebody's encyclopedia collection. There's something weird going on here. Would you do it? And obviously, there was 1,000 comments of people saying, I would do it for $200.
Yeah.
Like, what are you talking about?
Why, you got 200 on you, man?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what? The box is full of heroin or severed heads? What? I don't care. Yeah. I would, $200,000? Yeah.
I'll pick you up right now, man. Where are you?
What's the worst case that could happen? I could die. Well, then I don't have to pay my bills anymore. It's win-win.
We all have our own calculus. Yeah, for sure.
That's right. All right, Jason, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. Yesterday, the House passed a bill to ban or force the sale of TikTok. Still has to go through the Senate, but it is, I don't know, it feels pretty dramatic. Feels I don't know. I guess we've known this was in the works for a little while, but just feels like a thing we haven't seen the U.S. government do. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but feels like a new level of just putting their hand on the scale. So we'll talk about that. We might talk about rats getting high thanks to New Orleans cops. All of that, plenty more. But first, Jason Pargin, we do like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Kate Middleton fake photo explained.
And I like the little sigh that came first.
Well, this explains who I am because a lot of viral stories like this where a huge chunk of the internet, social media is obsessed with it, I'm always a little bit behind the curve. I'm never right on the cusp, on the cutting edge of knowing like each step. I'm always the guy who has to finally sigh and then go to Google and say, okay, who is this person? And the answer, surprisingly difficult to figure out because it instantly plunges into a whole history of British tabloid stuff about the royal family and all of these side scandals and stories that I was unaware of, like the fact that I guess Kate Middleton has not been seen in public since before Christmas. I'm sure you have covered the story, but I was totally unaware of all of it. And I still, after having spent an hour reading about it, am still mostly unaware of it.
Yeah, it's mostly questions at this point. It's It is intriguing, I gotta say. Like, I don't blame the internet for this one. It's a really weird story. Like, the level, but I think, unless these are like bullshit images, like some of the like zoomed in images of the Photoshop work that like clued people into the fact that the image was manipulated, were like pretty bad. They were like, if you asked me to Photoshop it in like 15 minutes, like there was just weird like things that they hadn't, it looked like they hadn't quite finished it, which, you know, you for the royal family, you would expect that they'd be up to the task of of a good conspiracy.
If you're creating like state propaganda, you'd be like, come on, man, like let's fucking dial in the fucking Photoshop here.
Yeah.
But the question that I wanted to know is, what do they think has happened? Because they're not they're not asserting that she's dead and that they're trying to cover up the fact that she's dead by releasing a fake photo of her with the family. So what is the thing they're trying to cover up? That because the story was that she had become ill with some sort of illness before Christmas and just had been out of the public spotlight because she wasn't feeling well. But they're saying, well, but they're actually covering up and then trying to figure out what they think.
Yeah, what is the cover up?
That she in reality has what become disfigured somehow, or that she looks just really bad, or
she got the Joker face thing from the original Tim Burton's Batman, where her face is all white now, and they haven't nailed the makeup down quite yet, and so
fell into a vat of chemicals,
vat of green bubbling chemicals. Yeah, fell off would be my best catwalk. Guess.
Yeah.
England is lousy with those things. Just factories full of catwalks and green bubbling vats. So
yeah, I think that's what's weird is because like the why there isn't anything that feels like right. You know, we're like, oh, I see why they would want to do that. I'm still just like, what are you alleging though? I don't know, but it's just again with all this sloppy shit that's been going around, you're like, I don't know, man. Maybe they're just really bad at communicating and then just making things worse when it's really pretty innocuous, probably.
Yeah.
Or it could be the story of the fucking century. We don't know. That's what's so weird. It's either like who gives a fuck or the story of the century.
Yeah.
So that's why it allows anybody to weigh in with something and be like, oh, yeah, maybe it could be that. Yeah, maybe it was a Joker situation.
Yeah. It does, like the allegations and insinuations don't totally line up, you know, with like they'll be like, well, you know, Will was cheating on her and here's what we know about his mistress and it's like, oh, so what does that have to do with her not being able to appear in a picture, like what?
I don't know. Again, it could be totally innocuous or the story of the century.
I'd
rather just be innocuous. We got enough tables right now here in 2024.
That's right.
We got to deal with
Jason. What's something you think is underrated?
Third party presidential candidates this year. Yeah. Not that they're going to win, that Robert Kennedy Jr., not that he's not going to be president.
But you think they should win, you're saying.
Yeah.
Off mic.
Yeah. But for example, I hit Twitter yesterday that one of his shortlist for VP candidates is quarterback Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
Of the New York Jets. That is not a joke. That was a story that came about that he is one of the people he's considering adding as a running mate. And right now he's polling between like 9% and 12%, at Robert Kennedy Jr., that is not Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. That's super high for a third party candidate in the United States. Now, traditionally, by election day, most of that support melts away because people don't want to throw away their vote because our system is specifically set up so that only two people can run and anyone else there just wasting their time. But if he gets only, let's say, 4%, that is more than enough to throw the election one way or the other. Because if you say of whatever, however many million votes that is, if maybe 20% of those people would not otherwise have voted, of that remaining 80%, if they break, say, 47 to 53 toward Trump, as in that's who they would have voted for otherwise, that flips the election. Because again, all of our presidential elections come down to like 20,000 votes in three swing states.
Right.
You don't have to flip that many votes. So there's not a ton of coverage of Robert Kennedy Jr., although he's very popular on social media, because it is mostly just a sideshow and he's big into the anti-vax stuff and conspiracy stuff. But I think people are badly underrating how much this election is going to come down to how much those third parties peel away, because these are two historically unpopular candidates. the pool of disgusted voters is probably literally all-time high.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I guess it's just we don't know which way it will go. So it's just this kind of free radical kind of variable that's out there that we're like, man, that's going to fuck shit up. And we don't know exactly how at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's like, I'm not going to be a spoiler or whatever. I mean, like that, but maybe if your intent is that or not, the fact remains, like, to Jason's point, there are a lot of people who are like, man, fucking neither of these two guys. And yeah, how will that break down? Because already you're seeing people already begin to like protest vote, whether that's to vote uncommitted, like in a primary, and what that appeal looks like again in November. But yeah,
and this would not be unprecedented. Like, a lot of people think that Bill Clinton, the reason that he ever became president in the first place was because Ross Perot was a third party candidate who took a bunch of the Republican vote away from George Bush won. So
yeah. Clinton won with 43% of the vote.
Yeah.
Like, that changed the course of American history. He won with 43%. But of the three, you know, obviously the three candidates, that was the most, because Ross Perot peeled off. It was a bunch. It was like 15% or something. And it is extremely difficult to poll where that support is coming from, because if you do a poll that's just it's just between the two candidates, you don't let people pick, you know, a third Ross party
Perot. Yeah,
you get a decent chunk of, I think it's like 12% saying either neither or undecided. It's a very high number.
Sure.
But it's extremely difficult to discern of those people who would come out for a third party. Again, how many of them, if RFK dropped out, how many of them just wouldn't vote?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Versus, okay, well, I'll go with Trump, or okay, I'll go with Biden. It is extremely difficult to poll. It's difficult to know this. And I suspect that on election night in November, we are not, even then, we are honestly not going to know who's going to win. And this will be a big reason why, because of the high number of voters who just hate both candidates and trying to figure out how they're going to behave.
Yeah,
will they
yeah.
stay home or vote for somebody else, or hold their nose and vote for whatever candidate they think is least bad?
Right.
Yeah. It'll be, yeah, because the other thing too is, like, you see with a lot of people who even they poll about RFK, not many people know all of his positions. But then again, people are even like, we're not even sure how much that's going to affect things once they learn of what his positions are. Because, like, on some polls, it's like 16% of Republicans would vote RFK, 18% of Democrats would do it. Others, it's kind of like inverted. So, yeah, it's a truly, we just don't know
situation. Oh, RFK Jr.
Junior.
Oh, shit.
That changes
that
stuff.
That was way off.
I thought RFK came back, because that would be fucking
that
tight.
That guy had some riz, as the kids call it. Yeah, it's funny. And even into the future, if this ends up swinging things to a pretty drastic degree, it will probably be written out of it the way that the Ross Perot thing, you know, it's the way that we like to think about history is with a single protagonist. And it's like, well, they won because they were the talented politician. And you just kind of write out the third place person who, you know, so even if he swings it and is the spoiler, I feel like that won't be the story that we all get.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is... It's just
is the truth, as you're about to say.
It's just my favorite politician God. Quarterback. No, it's just so funny to me. Like, I was reminded recently how hard he was lobbying to take over for Alex Trebek after Alex Trebek like announced that he'd be stepping down from Jeopardy. Right. And it just like hit me a second time how weird that is. Like, what? Like, what did he think? Why? How does he think we view him? And again, this is interesting. Like, he's not going to be the one who says no to being the vice presidential candidate.
Right.
Like, he's like, I mean, yeah, I should probably be running for president, but I guess I'll be your VP.
I'll settle for Trebek, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, for the listeners who are not sports fans, Aaron Rodgers is currently the starting quarterback for the New York Jets.
Yes.
He's not a retired athlete.
Not
he is
retired.
Under contract.
Yep.
The Jets are very much depending on him to be their starter on opening day when the football season comes around in September. So the question of could he serve that role while also being on the presidential ticket, knowing that if you know, his team were to win, if RFK were to somehow win the election, that Aaron Rodgers would miss the playoffs because he would have to assume the office the of vice president of the United States. He would be out that week when the Jets are in the, you know, the AFC championship game or whatever, like their starting quarterback would be out for the inauguration.
Yeah. And then his O-line is all Secret Service. It could be all very interesting. Very interesting.
He would have to be forced to recuse himself from one of the roles. Like, I feel like he'd be like, no, dude, I could do both.
It'd be so funny. He just fucks. He's like, oh yeah, dude, I'm not gonna be VP, dude. I gotta play football, man.
People who are really successful in one place just gain this outsized confidence that they're good at this, like
everything,
because they're surrounded by people, especially in this country, who will tell them repeatedly that they're good at everything. And he might be on the verge of being like the greatest textbook case of that ever. Like, guy throws a beautiful ball, but don't get me wrong. The guy throws one of the most beautiful balls I've ever seen. That last time, I don't think that was one of the things that got mentioned a lot in the 2020 election. Who threw a more beautiful ball?
Who could throw a tighter spiral?
Tighter spiral.
God. Although, damn, dude, I feel like we're headed there. Like, the White House is going to be like, just so you guys know, shout out at Joe Biden on TikTok for fucking launching this pigskin through a fucking tire with the tightest spiral. Folks, he's doing it. You don't trust this, America?
I mean, they have like talked about doing like push-up contests or like fighting each other. So we're not that far off. Jason, what's something you think is overrated?
Any kind of presidential poll that occurs in March. We just referenced the fact that not many people seem to know anything about RFK Jr. They're just kind of selecting him as the other candidate. And that if you actually ask people specific things that's going on, they generally don't know. Most people are not paying attention. I think most people listening to this show probably are, but the electorate in general, you don't see huge swings in the polls unless there's something like a big spike in inflation or some sort of, you know, a new war breaks out or something like that. But in terms of the way people on social media ruin their mental health by obsessively watching, you know, there's another poll that came out today that had Trump up by 3. Oh my God. Last week there was one that had Biden up by a couple.
Yeah,
that's Newsweek all just noise.
Biden was up. Yeah.
And it's going to be noise until the fall. And because one, polling has become extremely difficult in the Trump era, as we've learned. He has outperformed his polls in both of the presidential elections by a few points. So far in the primaries, he has drastically underperformed his polls in the Republican primary. As for why that is, nobody knows, even to this day. All they know is that Trump support is extremely difficult to pull. So I'm telling you right now, well, I'm going to make a prediction. Assuming both of these guys are still alive in November, when it comes day election day, we are not going to know who truly is up, because somebody in the polls is going to be up like 3 or 4 points. And that's not going to mean anything, because these days, when it's a non-Trump election, you can get a pretty decent idea. But Trump draws so many non-typical voters and people who otherwise they only vote when Trump's involved that it is extremely hard to tell what's going on. And we're simply not going to know.
You were pointing out something on TikTok also that's interesting that I hadn't fully appreciated or like kind of run the tape forward through this scenario. But if Trump is like in the midst of a trial at that point, like he's, you know, and it's looking like he's going to go to jail, the election becomes his voters voting to like free him, basically.
And
like
Trump,
him. Yeah.
Trump is fundraising on that idea.
Yeah.
He is fundraising
straight
on
up.
If I lose, I will have to go to jail. You are coming to. So I try to explain to people, like, imagine if when Trump had taken office, because again, his supporters see these as all fake charges. Right. They're not, but that's how they see it.
They're all political.
Imagine if when Trump took office, he immediately like launched a phony investigation into Barack Obama. And then now it's like if Trump gets in office, he's going to put Barack Obama in jail. And that's what was at stake. You know, like this guy you have good feelings about, the idea of him having to go to prison if the evil other team, like the idea of what that would do for turnout or whatever. And this is the thing about that Supreme Court ruling that delayed the case.
Yeah.
Because again, I know it was Trump's side that wants to delay this because, you know, obviously the people doing the prosecution say the voters kind of need to know before they vote whether or not Trump has been guilty of something and if he's about to go to jail. And Trump's team was trying to push the results until after the election, because if he becomes president, he can simply dismiss the prosecutors and replace them with somebody who agrees to drop the charges. So he can make the charges go away if he takes office. So the Supreme Court successfully pushed probably the finish date of these trials past Election Day, but I don't know that they did him a favor, because the current schedule now probably has the trials going on during Election Day. Like, they will be giving testimony and evidence about Trump trying to overthrow the 2020 election, and then they're going to pause so that we can go vote whether or not he should be president, and then the trial will resume after Election Day. That is a truly crazy situation, and I don't know. I would have to think it would hurt him, because that's all of the news will be negative, and all this negative testimony and people testifying against him. But
yeah,
then again, also, his people will be super motivated.
Right. And we don't know if the DOJ will stick to their guns on there. We're not going to do anything that could be seen as political 60 days out from an election, even though they did that with Hillary Clinton. That's like the other thing that could potentially be like, well, I don't know. We'll see how they decide to enforce that policy or not. But I'd imagine, I mean, given what's at stake, they maybe internally they'll be pressured to be like, no, we have to do this. But yeah, it's hard to know.
Maybe.
Hard to
know. I mean, the whole thing is, this has never happened before. Nothing remotely like this has ever happened before. There's no precedent or procedure or protocol to fall back on. This has never come up. So people ask the question like, well, if he goes to prison, can he still be president? But as far as we know, it's never come up before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would just be funny, like a counter campaign where like Barack Obama goes out there's like, hey, man, if Trump wins, he's going to put me in jail. Vote Biden. You know what I mean? Like, just be like, oh, everybody can play this game. Like,
right.
Yeah. And to be clear, that is Trump's whole deal. His whole deal is, this is the revenge presidency. Like, this is where I will get retribution on everyone who tried to harm me when I was in office or in the 4 years since. So, yeah, that's not too far off.
Yeah. Let me be the vessel for your revenge. Because, yeah, even at all his rallies, he's like, you know, I'm being prosecuted for you, for all of you. That's what I'm doing this for. And yeah, he's really anchoring that into the sort of, I am the sacrificial lamb. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't realize he was underperforming in the primary. Is it just this primary, or has he traditionally?
Yeah, all of the primary, because he's not running unopposed, but like he has crushed Nikki Haley, and he has crushed, but each time the margin is like 10 points lower than what the polls showed. So if you had a poll that showed that Nikki Haley or DeSantis or whoever was in the race against him before they all dropped out, where they were only taking 20% of the vote, in the final toll, they were taking 32%.
Right.
So either a lot of Trump voters were staying home, or again, polling keeps getting more difficult over time. Polling methods keep having to evolve because so many people don't answer the phone. It's a whole deal that's actually a really fascinating science. And it's not that the polls are meaningless. They still give you an indication of what's going to happen. It's just that when the elections are all this close, and all of our presidential elections are razor close, polling at this point is not accurate enough now to tell you one way or the other. It all comes down to turnout. And as we mentioned, like, history changed in 2016. The direction of the United States, the makeup of the Supreme Court pivoted radically on like 50,000 votes.
Right.
In a couple of states. Like, it was enough people to fit in a small NFL stadium. Like, that's how many people, you know, as we probably mentioned on a previous podcast, if you had had bad weather in one major city, it would have suppressed turnout by, you know, a few thousand votes. That could have pivoted the election. Like, that's how close history becomes. And as you mentioned, in the future, we never acknowledge that. It's just like, well, you know, there's a sea change and all this grassroots support of Trump and the country pivoted. It's like, no, if you reran that election 20 times, I don't know, maybe 13 times Hillary wins and Trump wins 7 times, but this is the way it fell. But it was a true coin toss, and it will probably be again.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's terrifying. Let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about the House bill to force the sale of TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back.
We're back.
And I mean, I guess, you know, Jason, as we've talked about on past appearances on this show, you kind of became, I wouldn't say accidentally famous, but like unexpectedly, like TikTok famous. And so I just want to like say up top, do you feel personally attacked by this bill? Like, do you think they're trying to keep a lid on some of your more viral TikToks, like the one with the lizard wearing the hat, or there's that one it wasn't from you originally, but you recently shared it on Twitter, where a guy does a high kick, his friend catches his leg up there, and then his other friend comes up to him with a boxing glove and like punches him in the butt over and over again, but then it becomes clear that the butt punches are part of the workout, and they're like 1, 2, 3, 4, like 10 butt punches. And then he drops his leg and like slaps his own butt. Like, I'm the best at taking a butt punch.
Oh, no, it was not 10 butt punches. He punches them in the butt like 55 times. It goes on for a very long time.
Do you think that's the video they want to keep a lid on?
That there's zero context for it. That's the joy of TikTok. Sometimes you'll get a clip and because they're speaking another language and it's, who is this guy? What is he doing? Why are they doing this?
Yeah.
You don't know. You don't want to know.
Yeah.
It's just a few seconds of a guy getting punched in the butt for a very long time. Then he screams at the camera and cuts. And now it's time for the next video. But yeah, this would have a huge impact on my life. I'm not unbiased here. I have 425,000 followers on TikTok.
There you go.
And this has revitalized my author career. I sell a lot of books on TikTok. A whole generation of kids who would not have cared about me and have no memory of the heyday of Cracked or any of that are finding out about my books on there. So this is something that is personal to me, but it's also, there's 170 million TikTok users in the United States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is not a trivial, it's not a niche thing they're trying to ban. This is not a niche product. This is like if they tried to ban, I don't know, Starbucks. You know, from you see, I'm saying, like the size of the customer base. What other business could you even compare it to? If they tried to ban Toyota cars from being sold, are there 170 million Toyota cars in the United States? Like, it's hard to think of a comparison about the scale of what they're trying to do here.
Right, and Toyotas would have to be like the most popular car, and like qualitatively different than every other car, like in a way that people, that is like really popular with young people. It feels like
everyone who uses Disney Plus, basically.
Yeah.
but even then, it's still unfathomable.
Does Disney Plus even have 170 million subscribers?
At their peak, 164 million.
Yeah.
Okay. That's worldwide.
Yeah, that's worldwide. So, yeah.
It's like hard to even fathom like what that really looks like.
But for example, 5 million of those accounts are businesses. Every business has a TikTok. You have to buy, you know, every restaurant and bakery and law firm and everything. They're all on TikTok. So it's not just a bunch of, the way they talk about this headlines, they'll kind of talk like, well, it's this app that a bunch of kids use, you know, a bunch of 13-year-olds would be mad. It's like, you're not understanding how many people advertise on TikTok or use it to promote their work.
Or if you're on there, you'll see many people who are above voting age that are using TikTok. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm extremely old. I'm one of the oldest people on the planet. But this overwhelmingly passed the House. And people don't know. So this now has to go to the Senate. The Senate doesn't seem as excited about taking it up. But Joe Biden made the step of saying, if it comes to my desk, I will approve it. That there will not be a veto. I will sign a bill to ban TikTok. And the terms of the bill they're talking about right now would basically give their parent company, that is a Chinese company, 6 months to sell TikTok or to spin off the American arm of it to some American company. And they'd have to have terms where they, because the entire issue is about the data that TikTok collects being available to the Chinese government, because the relationship between the Chinese government and the corporations in China is different from the way it works in the United States. The United States is corrupt in a different way.
Right.
But so it's my understanding that logistically that would be extremely a huge ask. Like, I don't, the Chinese government basically said, this is not going to happen. We are not sure. We will just let you ban it.
And yeah, go ahead.
I think trying to make it work from a technical aspect, I think, is difficult, because again, they're talking about basically spinning off just the American segment of the app and then separating it from the way it operates in the rest of the world. I'm sure it could be done if they want it to be, but I think from China's point of view, they don't like the precedent this would set. I don't know. It's really up in the air, but it's also really interesting. I can't think of another thing for my entire lifetime where they've been trying to ban something at a federal level that would affect this many people.
Right.
Yeah. And also be like a rights issue too at the same time, of like the digital rights or people's ability to communicate or express themselves on an app. But yeah.
Yeah, it feels like there's a bunch of ingredients at work here that are like making this sort of unprecedented thing possible. It feels like there's something that's as old as media and as old as like the, you know, like investigations into comic books and like the morality of young people, or like, you know, older people being outraged about rock and roll music. And I think there is, you know, we are in this version of US power and wealth where a lot of the people who have power and, you know, the ability to do things like this are old, and they don't understand. You know, they are out of step with the overwhelming kind of ideals that are prevailing on TikTok, and they're freaked out about that. I think there's also the fact that this would be a massive windfall for existing U.S. companies like, you know, social media companies. Like, Facebook is going to want this to happen. Like, this is a major competitor that is harming them. And you know, we are at a point in the history of the U.S. government where powerful companies are able to capture regulators, they're able to lobby, they're able to, you know, they have as much power as they've ever had. So like, yeah, those feel like major issues that are at work here that are probably making this more successful than, yeah, like you said, anything. Like there was a lot of fear of like Japan in the like late 80s, early 90s. Like they never like weren't like, we banned Sony, you know, that wasn't even a thing that like came up as far as I remember. But I,
right,
and I was paying a lot of attention. I was 9 years old, so I was on top of the business news. I was waking up every morning and opening the Wall Street Journal. No, but it just feels like this is, I don't know. It's, yeah, well, something new.
There's so many different versions. Like, so pre October 7th, this was all about privacy and, right, and national security for Americans. But then if that was an actual concern, why not crack down on all the other social media platforms if you're talking about user data and shit like that?
Don't worry.
But again,
about it.
Yeah, it's because it's American, right? And then again, like to your point, it's like TikTok is becoming a threat to the dominance of like American tech companies. Like so it shouldn't surprise people that Facebook was heading up a huge anti-TikTok campaign as they were being like, yeah, maybe Reels can be like TikTok, maybe, because that's who we're competing with. And the internet has always been dominated by like American companies. So this just sort of helps maintain like that hegemony. But also, like, when you think about also China, too, like, they keep certain Western companies out so they can help their own companies get a foothold and then become globally competitive. There's like a way of being like, well, hold on, we need to protect our own interests. So I think, and then the pro-Palestinian part of it, you know, I think has now become sort of like the focus where they're like, man, it's got to be TikTok. That's the only way young people are somehow saying that they are have like these sort of pro-Palestinian sentiments. But if you look at the balance of like popularity between pro-Palestinian or pro-Israeli content on other social media platforms, it's the same everywhere. There's, yeah, just more, the sentiment is more, leans more pro-Palestinian than pro-Israel. So
this is the place where they can like step in because it's not an American company.
Exactly.
Much.
And it's not an effective way of curbing that support. And like when you also look at, again, when they say like, oh my God, like TikTok's being run by the CCP and they're controlling everything. Well, also when you look at what the Biden administration was initially demanding from TikTok, they're basically saying like, okay, well, how about this? You need to give the US government basically total complete control over everything on the app, from the moderation policies to even having the power to temporarily shut the platform down. So it's like, but those are that's exactly what you were saying this other government was doing. So is it just merely that you want to be able to control this very specific, very popular platform? Because also like this move is also so unpopular. Couldn't come at a worse time for Biden,
yeah,
to try and make himself even less appealing to young voters.
Yeah, that is another important detail, is that this is so unpopular that even though this was originally like a very, I think, Republican point of like idea, or at least very appealing to the like anti-China hawks in the Republican Party, their presidential candidate Donald Trump has like reversed his position and been like, yeah, no, this is,
I like TikTok,
I'm actually no longer for this, I like TikTok, because he recognizes how unpopular it is.
He once signed an, yeah, executive order banning TikTok. Like, this was one of the last things he did, and it wound up not going anywhere. But this was, yeah, this is a huge reverse course for him.
Yeah,
and the,
yeah,
thing is, I think the listeners, they're sitting there thinking, well, don't I remember Mark Zuckerberg being pulled in front of Congress and a bunch of 86-year-old men like, Mr. Zuckerberg, can Facebook see me when I'm in my car? Is your, right, can my phone,
because
listen
I
to me
jack when, off there, sorry, did I say that out, yeah, loud? I, my bad.
Like, they revealed that they were incapable of regulating this industry, right, because they have, yeah, zero concept of what the algorithms do or what the actual issues are. And it's like, well, couldn't they interfere with our elections? It's like, well, some of this is just people being stupid and spreading, yeah, stuff around. It, you know, if like a bad rumor gets around, or a badly photoshopped AI image of whatever, Joe Biden doing something horrific, and it makes the rounds, you know, what Facebook's position has always been, if people are dumb enough to instantly share that over and over and over again, and it explodes, trying to stop people from sharing the dumbness is not a simple technical challenge. There's a point where you're actually upset about the flaws in the human spirit and the fact that a lot of Facebook users are 62 years old and don't have super high literacy of what an AI image looks like or what a Photoshop image looks like. And when they just get this little meme that it's like, well, did you know that under President Biden, that due to immigration, egg prices have gone up 347% because of immigration.
Yeah, I saw that.
And there's no source or anything. You're instantly going to share it. And so what they're saying is like, well, look, you can blame the algorithms, but the algorithm is just detecting what people are sharing and what they want to look at. If you want us to put our thumb on the scale to block some stuff, then you get what happened to us back at Cracked, where they're like, oh yeah, one thing that we're not going to allow anymore is what you're doing.
Right.
Like your comedy articles where we're not going to show that to anyone anymore. That's one thing we've just eliminated. I was not happy with that. I would have preferred they let our readers decide if they want to see our stuff.
Yeah.
But they were like, no, we're pivoting away from that too. And then you look at who dominated traffic after that. It was freaking Ben Shapiro and a bunch of these other right wingers who just had these very viral clips that were great at drumming up outrage. So you can make the exact same criticisms of TikTok. It's like, well, yeah, but China's allowing all sorts of misinformation and stuff on there. And I use it every day. I have to because I'm on there. It's not any worse or dumber than...
It's the same shit, yeah.
It's definitely not worse than Twitter under Musk-era Twitter.
Right.
Where you can pay $8 a month to have the nastiest conservative, you know, conspiracy stuff rise to the very top reply of every single post.
Yeah.
Like, if you read a reply to a post about a news story, whatever, you have to scroll past all of these blue checks that are all right-wing conspiracy weirdos to find the actual human beings interacting with the post. There's nothing that TikTok does that's as weird and toxic as that.
Yeah. I think it's all bad, to be honest. Like, I don't think there's anything worse about TikTok, but I don't think there's anything that is going to be fixed by this plan, which is giving TikTok to the tech industry that has already demonstrated themselves to be incapable of the power and scale that they've already been operating under. You know, they can't do any of it responsibly.
Right.
Nobody can.
And well, if they ban it, the traffic goes to two companies. It goes to Google, where YouTube Shorts is just TikTok. It's just literally, they're just trying to imitate. And then on Instagram Reels, Instagram and Facebook, Meta's Reels, again, it's just TikTok. They both have the infinite scroll video. So there's two basically imitators that all of the traffic is going to flow to. And pick your poison, Google or Meta. Yeah.
Right.
Well, then the other part two companies
that have a duopoly on all internet traffic and internet advertising that has basically ruined the publishing industry. And every news outlet has been utterly crushed by the fact that these two companies have basically owned the flow of information.
Yeah.
So you're saying going from a three-headed monster to two, that's suddenly going to fix the problem. I don't buy it.
Yeah. Well, and I think there's also the other part people are talking about with Trump coming out against it is like, he just doesn't want Mark Zuckerberg to own TikTok either. So if this thing forces a sale, then potentially Zuckerberg becomes a suitor. And then that's sort of Trump's calculus. Like, well, I don't want Zuckerberg to own that either.
Right.
So, yeah, there's a lot. I mean, the idea, though, too, of like when you see the companies that are like saying like, no, yeah, we should actually maybe ban TikTok. Those are precisely the ones that stand to benefit. So there's obviously like a tech capitalism argument here, and also like the disconnect between elites and thinking that young people or people in general who cannot abide by watching like innocent people be slaughtered, that it must be some kind of digital spellbinding that's happening on TikTok rather than, you know, the humanity of it. But hey, that's what they're arguing over now.
Yeah. I mean, like our writer JM McNabb was like, I have a theory that it's these specific videos where like soldiers are just posting TikToks being like, this shit sucks, man. Like being in the military absolutely is a shitty lifestyle. And like, like, it's just another way in which social media makes information and opinions available that are inconvenient to people with tons of institutional power. And I do think that that is broadly a thing we're seeing over and over again is like, you know, we've been talking about it a lot recently with regards to like the rot economy, but just this disconnect between the people who are investing in things and controlling the market and then everyone else's day-to-day realities.
Well, so, yeah, and also just not even actually giving any thought to the fact that many venture capital, like a capitalist, they're invested in Chinese tech companies and even Chinese competitors to like AI, like American AI companies. So like it's the inconsistency that sort of, I think, makes it very easy to understand like what the main goals are of a TikTok ban. It has nothing to do with privacy and has nothing to do with some of these other points that they make up. It's more just protecting these sort of like the dominance of these American tech companies. And yeah, maybe, and now that October 7th happened, now we also maybe have this thing where like with this one trick, the government was able to invert the polling on how people feel about Gaza.
Right, right. They're hoping for one easy trick that doctors don't want you to know about.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Do you want to hear about the $100 wedding dress that just saved Abercrombie?
Or the tech acquisition that was just like Game of Thrones?
Or the one financial equation that can solve climate change?
Then check out our daily podcast, The Best One Yet, or as we call it, T-Boy.
This is Nick.
This is Jack.
And we pick the three most interesting business news stories every day for the perfect mix.
20 minutes each morning, you're going to feel brighter.
We call it Pop Biz, don't we, Jack?
Where pop culture meets business news. So whether you want to kick off a conversation with your buddies,
or you're going for that promotion at work,
or you just want to know the trends before your friends,
feel brighter by starting your morning with us every weekday.
Listen to The Best One Yet on the Wondery app or wherever you get your pods.
You can listen to The Best One Yet ad-free right now on Wondery Plus. For more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts.
With shows like The Best One Yet, How I Built This, and many more, Wondery means business.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And just a headline that captured our attention. It says, cop boss says marauding rats are getting high on marijuana at New Orleans police headquarters.
Am I supposed to read that as like a mobster and be like informants are smoking weed at HQ? Or we're talking rodent rats?
Oh, yeah. The fucking bunch of canaries getting high, you know? Bunch of songbirds.
Yeah.
I love anytime, you know, that we're marauding rats. But, you know,
yeah.
These rats in particular are marauding.
I mean, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of rats in New Orleans. You know, it's that anyone who's been there, you see rats around. It's kind of a normal part of it.
Yeah. But apparently the New Orleans Police Department headquarters is a real dump plagued by possums also. Don't forget about the possums, because that's a next level. Like, I feel like many police headquarters probably have a rat problem. Possums is kind of next level shit. So possums, mold, and rats. And the rats in particular have been getting into the evidence room and eating our marijuana.
Our?
Yeah. Aww. That's our marijuana, man. And our, quote, all high. According to Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick. I love that she calls it our marijuana and that they're all high.
Just they're all high.
Yeah. You guys are all high smoking our marijuana. I mean, the marijuana that we seized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is such a great example of how information and news moves through the ecosystem, because the context was they were having a committee meeting and the police superintendent was complaining about how the police department that they're building is like falling apart.
A dump.
They have elevators. Yeah. Elevators don't work. Bathrooms that don't work. Cells has not been working for, like she said, 15 years. And there's overrun with rats and possums and mold. And then somewhere in all of that, mentions or jokes or says the rats are actually eating the marijuana in the evidence room. They're all high. And I don't know if this was a laugh line, if this is just something she threw in there, but now this becomes the headline. Because hey. She's trying to bring awareness, like presumably is asking for money to fix up the building or to get a new one. And we pull out that little tidbit, and this is, you know, we've been in this industry for like a quarter of a century. We know how this works. You're scanning through from the oddball little bit of information. And then this is the thing that goes viral, is the rats are getting high off the marijuana. And somewhere out there, Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick is hoping that the virality of that headline will help them like get their funding or whatever.
Yeah, it's like embarrassing enough to the powers that control. Yeah.
And it won't. We will see this. We will chuckle to ourselves, and we will immediately forget about it for the rest of our lives. It's you just brought a smile to our faces during our morning commute, and then we will forget about it by lunchtime.
Yeah.
Thanks for the larfs.
Yeah, a lot of it too is she's like, this isn't a dignified way to treat people that are working for the department, and like we can't even attract people. We can't even attract people from out of state to brutalize our local citizens because of the headquarters is in such a state of disarray. Please,
yeah,
do something. But it's true. Like, I mean, I think that's the thing. It's like, look, man, no one gives a fuck if their headquarters are all fucked up. Just run with the fucking stoner rat thing.
Yeah.
And well, people actually pay attention.
It won't bring about any funding changes. It will actually be option for an Adult Swim short cartoon. It's going to be
faded
a lot of
rats
fun.
Faded rats at the station.
Yeah.
But let me see if I can. Let's try and hear how it actually came out during the hearing, just so we get some idea of how this shocking news was delivered to the city council.
Because the evidence room is losing evidence to rats.
Major rodents on the floor, the cockroaches, the rats eating our marijuana, they're all high. In the end, financially, it does not make sense for y'all to put any more money into this. It's not okay.
Yep.
And it's not okay for your people to be treated that way and called valued.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounded like she was frustrated with high rats. I mean, they're all high.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like it was and they're eating marijuana. They're all high, y'all. Like, it wasn't, didn't feel like that kind of a thing. It's like, I mean, they're all fucking high.
It sounded like a thing that she's been bringing up for weeks.
They're all fucking
the high rats.
I'm sorry, but the droppings everywhere on the desks, that's also a problem. Hold on. When they're high, are they like cool? Like, are they kind
they
of being weird about being high?
Yeah. Are they paranoid? Like one of those experiments where they gave spiders LSD and they made like really cool looking webs, or is it like the ones where they gave spiders cocaine and the webs looked all fucked up?
What's a rat king look like when they're all high? Yeah. Is it like more vibey? We don't know.
It kind of reminds me of that one quote from Alex Jones that people quote to prove that he's crazy. And he's like, the chemicals are turning the frogs gay.
Right.
But the actual headline was that stuff that we're flushing into the water system, it messes with frogs and screws up their ability to breathe. It's like an environmental issue because we do flush a lot of drugs and chemicals and stuff into the sewers, and the treatment plants don't necessarily do a great job of filtering it out. Yeah. That makes its way to the waterways, and then like it causes frogs to whatever, change sex or whatever. But the issue is that they don't, they're not breeding, so it threatens their population. But that's like a boring story. Whereas Crazy Man shouts, there's a conspiracy to turn the frogs gay. It's like a perfect little, it's like, well, no, it's weird because the thing he was talking about is a problem, but it's not a problem in the way he thinks it is.
Right.
Because he's just a carnival barker and he doesn't want more regulations over the you know, water treatment plants.
Yeah. Fucking up the morality of our frogs. When I was young, I remember bullfrogs were, you know, masculine. Now they're all turning gay.
You should have seen their arms, man. Fucking proper ripped frogs. Now they're all noodly and blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I mean, but sorry to that police department for all the faded rats. But yeah, again, this is more interesting, honestly, than like a dry city council meeting. Like, hey, help us, like, because they're like, help spend the money in this other place, not just keeping the rat house alive.
Yeah. The news cycle at this point, like we talked about this with the State of the Union last week, and Biden had a strong performance, but the only thing anybody was talking about was the really weird performance from Katie Britt afterwards. Right. It's like trying to get the attention of just a bunch of idiots, and we are idiots as well.
I mean, but there's also a part, it's like, you can't go in there and allege the rats are high without like a little,
without thinking we're going to jump on.
Like, how do you know? Like, sure, they're eating the weed, and logically you're like, yeah, they're probably somehow in an altered state from consuming cannabis like that. But like, are they fixed in one place? Aren't rat eyes already bloodshot?
Yeah.
So I don't know. They could also just be anti rat propaganda. That's the other thing I think we should just look out for. Yeah. It's cannabis hysteria. Yeah.
Rats are an impressive foe. They are the most likely thing to overtake us, I feel like, as the species most dominant, as the noble, most dominant species on the planet.
The noble rat. And as someone who is born in the year of the rat, you know, I kind of resent this. I'm like, are you talking about me? Because, rats are getting high at the police headquarters. That's right. We are.
Well, Jason Pargin, such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
As long as TikTok exists, I am Jason K. Pargin on there. JasonKPargin. But I'm also Jason K. Pargin on Twitter and or X and Blue Sky and Threads and Instagram and YouTube. And I'm also on Facebook and on Substack. Same username.
There you go. And the TikTok thing probably wouldn't be coming anytime soon, right?
Like next year at the earliest.
Yeah,
the bill would give them 6 months to. Yeah. It would be even if they passed a ban, it would get tied up in court, and they would stay the ban and it would go all the way to Supreme Court This would be news from 2027 or something, I think, if it actually ever happened.
Yeah, good. So we've got a steady stream of butt punch videos for the foreseeable future. They're not going to cut off our supply. Is there a work of media, Jason, that you've been enjoying?
There's a tweet that went out after the Oscars where user KB Anderson Yo said, all of the best film editors are women because the dudes are like, this is my 5-hour opus. And then a woman comes in and goes, okay, calm down, buddy.
Yeah. That does seem to be the dynamic in a number of cases.
Yeah, more on that later, man. Uh-huh. Let me just get through this cut.
Miles, where can people find you? Is there a work of media you've been enjoying?
Yeah, at Miles of Gray, pretty much everywhere. They got the at symbols. Find Jack and I on the basketball podcast, Miles and Jack on Matt Boosties. You can find me on the 90 Day Fiancé podcast for 20 Day Fiancé. A tweet I like is there's this picture of young Dolly Parton has been like going around on Twitter. I don't know if everyone saw it. Like, this is like Dolly Parton, like back in the 60s, like in a photo booth. Image, and at Local Soundwave like quote tweeted and said, bro, what the fuck could Jolene have possibly looked like?
Yeah.
It's just like this stunning photo of Dolly Parton. You're like, yeah, that's true, man. What can we see Jolene actually?
Right. Let's see. A tweet I've been enjoying. Justin Kirkland tweeted, "Everyone criticizing Princess Kate's Photoshop just needs to calm down. She's going through so much right now. For example, she's dead." Which, I don't know. You know, that's a source. That's one source saying it. Mm-hmm. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link up to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, what song do you think people might enjoy?
I just want to point, there's someone under that tweet, sort of found an interview where Dolly Parton was talking about Jolene, and actually, like, some people were like, it's Dolly Parton was Jolene. And this one apparently said the song was mainly inspired by a red-haired bank teller who flirted with her husband Carl Thomas Dean all the way back in the beginning of their marriage. Quote, "She had everything I did, and like legs, you know, she was about 6 feet tall and had all that stuff that some little short sawed-off honky like me don't have."
Sawed-off honky. Wow.
My favorite kind of shotgun. Let's see, a song we're gonna go out on. You know, just some electronic, you know, some drum and bass from the UK. Chasing Status. This is called Badadan, meaning badder than, but with a bit of patois. Baddadan. And it's just like an aggressive song. You know, maybe run on your treadmill, lift your weights, drink your sodas, whatever you want to do to some high energy music. Go ahead. Do it to this one. Chasing Status. Badadan.
All right. We will link off to that in the footnotes. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your podcast. That's going to do it for us this morning. Back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. And we will talk to you all then. Bye.
Peace.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.